Hello everyone, welcome to Stolen Our Hearts podcast, the podcast about ferrets and other exotic pets. I'm Nairi, your host. Today I'm chatting with a couple of rabbit parents about their adventures with their pet rabbits. And if you could see the happiness on their faces when they're talking about their rabbits, you would be absolutely in love. It's just so clear that they love their rabbits just so much. It was an absolute delight to talk to them. So here they are. Hello. I'm very excited to talk to you. would you two like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, so my name's Meg. I'm a functional registered dietitian, primarily in the US, and a proud bunny mom of two. And I've been pretty much, I think, what you'd call a lifer bunny parent. I've kind of had rabbits almost my whole life. So, yeah, and Jace, this is, I'm here with my husband, Jason.
I'm her better half, Jason, and that's no introduction needed, no employment history needed. I have not owned bunnies as long as Meg has, but Meg, when her and I got together 5 or 6 years ago, she had a bunny, Poppy, and I fell in love with Poppy pretty quickly. So at first I was jokingly judgmental about the bunny thing, and then once I met Poppy, it was like, oh, I get it. Okay, yeah, we're working with this. This is great. So yeah.
We'd be out in New York. That's where we met and where we live. And he would try to get me to stay out late or whatever. And I'd be like, no, I have a rabbit to feed. I got to go home.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about your lives, like in general, not rabbit related? Just I'd like to know about the people I'm talking to as well. Like, what do you like to do? Where do you live?
Yeah, so he's originally from Seattle. I'm originally from New York, and we both have lived in New York City or had lived in New York City for a long time, which is where we met. Mm-hmm. But about a year, no,
2 years, almost.
Years ago, yep. Almost, we moved to Honolulu, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are now.
Right in the middle of COVID.
Yeah, we didn't plan it that way, but it literally was like we closed on our condo, and then like 3 days later, New York and Honolulu shut down.
Wow. It was plenty of time to unpack boxes.
Say that again.
Plenty of time to unpack boxes.
Well, so the funny thing is, there wasn't really many boxes. We sort of put in an offer with the people, and we bought their furniture off them, and then we just packed. We had 5 suitcases and 2 rabbits.
Yeah.
And going through JFK during COVID with like, I don't know, maybe 100, 200 people in the whole place, when there's usually 1 million people that pass through, is I remember us being very stressed out the day of making the move, and just looking back and being so thankful, because it just would have been so much different had it been in normal times. We had to bring the bunnies through security, and we almost lost one of them.
What? Tell me about that.
One of them did not like the security.
We'll tell you about that story. Yeah. I'm sure we'll get into that.
But
we weren't really outdoorsy people, I think, until we moved here. And now we like to hike, and I love to spend time at the beach, and I love to read.
Yeah.
You like to tinker around with your electronics and such.
And furniture building.
But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to do here, which is great, because in New York, as much as I love New York, everything comes with a price. If you want to go out and do something, it really costs something. Whereas here, if you want to make a great day, you can make it out of anything and everything. Wow. You know, a hike, this, so that, it's just.
Yeah,
just it's unbelievable out here. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what pets have you had in your life?
So I've pretty much only had bunnies.
Okay.
I got my first bunny on my 7th birthday, and unfortunately he died on the day before my 15th birthday.
Oh.
So like a straight up 8 years I had him, and then I had my second bunny, Poppy, who he met. Mm-hmm. And then now we have our two bunnies, Parker and Theo. And that's kind of it. Like, outside of a goldfish, I'm pretty much exclusively been a bunny mama my whole life.
That's right.
What about you?
Well, when I was 12 or 13, we bought a small beagle dog. And I loved him. He was adorable. But we figured out very quickly that, one, beagles should have owners that have a lot of land, a big place to run around, because having a small place, he tore the hell out of the place. But beyond that, we didn't know until we spoke to the breeders after, because he kept having a lot of these issues, that they didn't tell us that he was a little special. But he would do the most adorable, it was just things that I don't even know how to describe. Like, he'd put his hind legs up and stand straight up and just start humping the air. I mean, if this was the day of phones, I would be a YouTube star for the stuff that this dog did. But it really became difficult taking care of him. So we had to take him back, which was really, really sad. But other than that, I haven't had any pets besides the two rabbits that we have currently now.
Okay, so now I definitely need to know about your current bunnies, please.
Yeah, so Theo is a mini Rex mix, and he's all black. Parker is a Harlequin mix, and his coloring is, I'm not sure if you've heard of they call it magpie. And what that is it's basically like a very specific pattern of different colors.
He looks like a Dalmatian almost.
In certain ways. But he's got, it's almost like he has stripes that go all the way around his body, almost like a funnel of color, and it rotates between black, white, and gray. Mixed in, he's got some spots, like Jason said, like a Dalmatian on his feet and on one of his ears. He's so cute. He's humongous. He's like 8 pounds, which I know it's not like humongous. Maybe in Australia, you guys probably have maybe bigger rabbits, but
no idea.
Yeah, here in the US, domestic rabbits, like 5 pounds maybe is like a big rabbit, unless you have one of those breeds that's just huge. But Parker is a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big boy. We're trying to work him out a little bit.
Yeah,
he is
going to die. Yeah. Oh, so rabbits can get fat. I didn't, like, they overeat or... exercise.
Yeah, and one of the problems is Theo kind of picks and chooses when he wants to eat and drink he's a picky eater. He's, you know, if he doesn't like something, he'll walk away from it and go back to it later, hoping that you will have changed his food between that time. Whereas Parky, I call him our little garbage bunny, because he'll just eat anything. And so when Theo walks away,
a garbage disposal.
Yes, like a garbage disposal. Yes, like when Theo will walk away from his food and maybe plan on coming back to it later.
It'll be gone.
Parky's got a different idea. The food's gone. So it's difficult, because since they're free roam and they eat together and everything, you know, it's hard. Theo's not malnourished or anything like that. Like, he still eats. He's just at a good, happy weight, whereas Parker needs to, you know, the Nordic track.
Yeah, we have an inside joke with each other that Parker is our street bunny.
Yeah.
Like, he was the rescue who was, honestly, it's sad, but we laugh about it because he's fine now, and he's in our
He was a literal
now,
street bunny.
But he literally was found in a cemetery, and he experienced a lot of trauma before we fostered him.
Oh,
and
tell me about that. Like, how do you know what happened and who rescued him?
Well, so we can tell by his mannerisms, first of all. That's like the first thing. But so when we first...
We've had him for what, 2.5 years now?
Yeah.
2.5 years,
So we first got him not with the intention of adopting him. I secretly had the intention, but I convinced him to let us take him because I was like, let's just go see him. We'll just go see him. And then when we saw him, we both
it was like pretty quick. It was like we can't leave him here. Yeah. Like he's just
we saw the conditions he was in, and then I was like, well, let's just foster him. Like we'll just foster him.
Yeah.
And then he became ours. But so anyway, when we first saw him, we could tell by his mannerisms. So he was severely malnourished. Like this is a rabbit whose breed, his natural
He's got a big frame.
He has a big frame, and he was 2.5 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
His eyes were all watery and red. He was sneezing all over the place.
You can tell by his coat too, because his coat was wiry.
It was really wiry and matted.
Yeah.
And you could tell by his reactions to humans.
Like he gets very scared, very skittish.
Very scared and skittish. Very just like docile if you went to pick him up or handle him at all. So that's how we know he was traumatized before we got him. But then the physical evidence that we saw when we actually took him into our care to foster him, we actually found there were baby teeth lodged in his shoulder.
We found him at a cat cafe.
Yeah, he was being sheltered at what's called a cat cafe.
Okay.
So when they would let him out to play, he'd be playing with these little kittens that would bite him. And their teeth would get lodged in him. And he had, I mean, 4 or 5 were lodged in him. It was really sad. And
yeah, he had wounds and he had these little teeth just like lodged in his shoulder. So that was the physical evidence. And then on top of that, he was really ill and you could tell by his mannerisms. So we know he's been pretty traumatized.
There was a lot of work we had to do with him. We wanted to get him neutered as soon as possible, but we couldn't get him neutered until
his respiratory infection was gone.
So we had him on antibiotics for almost
six months,
and it was just it was literally every month trying a different antibiotic, seeing if that would work. That didn't work. Let's try a different one. And it was, but eventually during that time, while we're trying all these different antibiotics and doing this and this and this, you know, time's slowly going by and we're noticing, okay, he's a little more, you know, he's letting us come close and he's letting us pet him and he's letting us pick him up and his coat's getting so much better and he's flopping and he's gaining weight and he's doing binkies and he's slowly becoming a lot happier of a bunny. And finally, once we found something that, you know, he still has some respiratory issues, but once we found something we could get to kind of stick, we were able to get him finally neutered, and then we were able to kind of start actually the bonding process, which is a whole other thing.
So he was found on the street, and then a cat cafe brought him in.
They said they didn't have room or something.
Right.
To rescue.
What happened is he was found by somebody, I don't know, a Samaritan, and they turned him into the rescue.
And they let kittens bite him.
Yeah. Well, so the rescue didn't have room for him. They didn't have any placement for him, and they partnered with this cat cafe.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe they knew the woman who ran it or something, and so I would imagine, and I don't know this lady who ran the who runs the cat cafe. I don't know.
They didn't seem very educated with stuff when we would ask her questions. Yeah. She would just like, I don't know. And we would ask, well, how old is he? He looks this old. And we were like, that doesn't, you could.
But I mean, I would imagine she was not up to speed on bunny stuff because she let the bunny out with the cats. that's my cue, maybe. You know, he shouldn't have been there.
not the best placement. So how did you start bonding him with your other one?
Well, that was quite a process. It took us about 9 months.
Yeah.
And what we had to do first, so we couldn't, as Jason said, we couldn't start the bonding process until Parker was neutered, and we couldn't neuter him until he was off the antibiotics.
Yeah.
The doctors didn't want to do the surgery unless.
So they never even really. Well, I take it back. They did see each other because Theo would. So it was just we had a split level.
A duplex.
Yeah. So we had Parker downstairs and Theo upstairs, and we had to separate and put caging up between the levels.
Mm-hmm.
So one could not see the other. But every once in a while, Theo would find a way to jump over, and we'd come downstairs and look, and they're both just sniffing at each other because they were still blocked off from each other.
Awesome.
It was very clear they wanted to meet, they wanted to But we just couldn't do anything about it at that time, which was sad.
Yeah. So, but once all that was clear, we were able to start the process by, actually, we started this a little bit before, like
when we would do little bunny dates here and there.
Well, we started switching their litter boxes around
so
they could smell each other, switching their toys, their towels, or their whatever they had on the floor around so they could get used to each other's smell. And then we had small bunny dates. So like, very quick, like 2 to 5 minute bunny dates in a neutral territory. And for us, that was hard because before we got Parker, as we mentioned, we had our duplex apartment, but that was Theo's home, you know, like
he would run up and down. That was his.
He was free roam of the whole place, basically.
So what was neutral? What did you find that was neutral?
So like, we had to take them out into the stairwell.
The hallway of the building. There was nowhere else.
There was really nowhere else because we eventually did try to move them into the bottom part of our apartment.
Did not go well.
It just wasn't going very well. They would get very territorial.
Plus we didn't know, well, I mean, we did know, we found out, but we weren't as aware of that it is very, very, very difficult, and I wouldn't say rare, but it doesn't happen nearly as often to bond two males.
Right.
It's most of the time it's you bond a male and a female, and or a female and a female, and two males is very difficult. We found out how difficult it was. It was very, very, very difficult, and we never officially bonded them until we actually moved to Hawaii. I wouldn't say that they were bonded when we moved. It wasn't until we actually came in here and kind of opened.
Neutral territory.
The whole place was neutral now. They'd never been there. So we opened them up at the same time and just let them out. And they were great. From then on, it was,
So what I think happened is we were able to lay enough of a groundwork where they knew each other. They were familiar with each other. There was even a point before we moved that we moved Parker upstairs temporarily, but we separated them with a gate. So Theo had one side, Parker had the other side of our upstairs level. And we were hoping that because they would be able to be like see and smell each other all the time, that maybe that would help. But it really didn't. So it helped us lay enough groundwork to where when we got here to when there was a totally new territory, that we didn't have to do anything after that. It was literally like we moved and it just.
And I think part of it was I don't know what you would call a traumatic experience, but you know, the travel itself is sort of traumatic to a pet.
It's stressful for them.
It's stressful. Yeah. So they did it together. Yeah. So they were together the whole time. We took a little break in Los Angeles. So we flew to Los Angeles, took 2 days and stayed at a hotel and we put them together there. So the whole travel, it was like they were with each other and they really were with each other. Yeah. They stayed by each other's side the entire time. So really when we got here, we both felt really good about let them out and let's see how it goes. And they were great from then on.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to that traveling bit. How did you travel overseas with
not
two
well.
Rabbits? Well, how do you do it? Like, what's the...
She can speak more to the pain in the A that was getting them on a plane.
Let me tell you. So, all right. So the first thing that we had to do, I had been planning this, specifically the bunny piece of the move, for months before we act. So the first thing I had to do was I had to find a carrier that would allow us to bring them in the cabin.
Yeah.
And because we didn't want to put them under the plane. I didn't feel safe with that. So Alaska Airlines, they're primarily US based. Is it different in Australia? Is it like as big of a deal to allow animals in the cabin of
Yes.
Plane?
Yes. It's a big deal. It's not really a thing.
Oh, okay.
When we got our puppy when I was little, it was in the hold. He was in the hold he, you know, I mean, it's air conditioned and gas down there, but, it was only like a 1 hour flight because it's only interstate. Still very scary. So we had this little puppy covered in vomit. And we could hear him crying from the car park. We could hear him screaming for like love and attention from inside the building where they keep the animals. I was like, oh my gosh, is that our dog? It's like, yes, it is. So,
How terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. And I guess the breeder just convinced my parents that this was fine. Because we went to visit him and meet him like weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
By driving, so I don't know why we didn't just go back.
Right, but,
I guess it must have been a timing issue or something. I don't know. I was 10, so
yeah,
I wasn't really involved in this decision. But so I'd really like to not do that again with pets. So so traveling in the cabin with pets.
Yeah,
I've heard some whispers of it happening more now. And that it might be a thing coming up. And so I'm very excited, but I'd like to know how you did it, because it's a thing there. So I've got listeners from all over.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know.
So it was kind of an interesting time to make this move, because the laws here in the U.S., there were really no like laws around traveling with animals in the cabin. It was all kind of just up to the carriers, the airlines, but most of the airlines went by a stipulation in the Disabilities Act that included what's called emotional support animals.
So
they were in the middle of changing those laws. It was kind of open-ended when we actually made the move. It was
luckily
on its way
out,
to being closed off just to dogs only to be allowed, but we moved before that happened. So
there is an issue, because there is a period of time where people were really taking advantage of the emotional support thing. So
yeah, I heard.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm sure
to each their own. So I can't sit there and say what animal, you know, this and that. But I mean, people I had heard were bringing entire, like someone brought a peacock on.
That's the one I heard about. Yeah.
Yeah, there was. I mean, there was a lot. It was a lot of different things, and the problem was, is it laid this bad impression for people, you know, like us, or people that really did have an emotional support animal, or just, you know, there's a lot of unknown things about rabbits. So people sit there and think, well, they're going to eat everything. Well, they're going to this.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to that.
They
and it's like they're not.
Rodents.
Yeah, they're rodents. They're going to this. They're going to. And it's a lot of. It was a lot of that. I just think that a lot of airlines are uneducated on that, and they kind of just said, you know what, no one gets any of this anymore then. And
that's really what happened.
Yeah.
To be fair to the peacock person, I have to think, like, would you want your peacock in the hold? Probably not. So they probably were using it as a loophole.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with what animals people choose to bring on the airplanes.
Yeah.
I have a problem with the airplanes allowing things like a mini horse.
That's what I was going to say. I disagree with you. I do have a problem. At the time, it was dogs, cats, and mini horses.
And mini horses. And yet we couldn't have our quiet,
five pound little rabbit
that could sit on your lap. Yeah,
right. So that's what I have a problem with. I have no right to say who deserves to bring what kind of animal on a plane. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody and doesn't like cause.
And they should be
the
on a case by case basis.
Case by case. But
you can't sit there and just there is none of them except these animals. It's like, you know.
So anyway, that's a little bit of context for the time at which we went. So it's still, because these laws were in the middle of changing, it still made it incredibly different for us to find an airline that would allow us to bring the bunnies in the cabin. So luckily there's an airline called Alaska Airlines here in the US, and they just kind of basically allow you to bring small animals in the cabin. Cats, dogs, rabbits, I think guinea pigs is one.
Yeah, there's some small reptiles they allow.
As it's not a rodent or they have some criteria that they don't allow. So we flew with the bunnies from New York to LA on Alaska. Mm-hmm. And then I had to beg.
You already had permission,
with Hawaiian Airlines to bring them from LA to Hawaii, but I really had to plead our case.
She had to plead to the corporate team. So there was somebody on corporate that she spoke with that basically said, look, we don't allow it. However, if you can prove to me the things that you're saying, that they're not rodents, that, you know, they're
we
not going to do this, that they're that, that, that
we had our paperwork.
Yeah. And she said, if you prove that to me, I'll give you guys an exception. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And she did. And they gave us an exception, and it was great
So we flew with them. They were considered emotional support animals on that second leg. So that was the first thing. Had to figure out logistically, how are we going to get them from here to there?
Yep.
The second thing was preparing them for this trip and figuring out how we were going to do it, because the flight from New York to Honolulu straight away is like 10 hours and 50 minutes.
Mm.
And that's too long for bunnies, at least from what I've read, to be in the
air.
In
a little cage. Oh, in the air. Okay.
Well, yes, in a little cage too, because they get scared. They're not going to be drinking. They're not going to be eating. You know how rabbits have to, like, they have to poop every couple of hours,
or else
it's dangerous, right? They have to eat every couple of hours.
Our vet just made it clear it's best to break it up.
Yeah, it's best to break it up. So we did. So I was like, oh my God, how are we going to, like, logistically, what materials do we need to get them from here to there? What do we need to have them in the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
So what we ended up doing is we got them their airline approved carriers, and we lined with WeWe pads. So their carriers had like a soft felt bottom. So it's not like they were sitting on a hard cage. It came with a felt, very cushy bottom. And then we lined it with like 4 or 5 WeWe pads, each of them, and put a bunch of hay in there and a lot of like herbs that they like cilantro and basil and stuff like that. Then I also brought pre-filled syringes of water with a little bit of apple juice in it so that I could tempt them to drink. So there were syringes in their little pocket so I could give them water while we were in the air. And so what had happened is if we needed to like clean their carrier, if they had left droppings or peed or something, we could just roll up that top layer of WeWe pad, throw it out, and they would be like not sitting in their own urine. It was in flight. That's kind of how we had them. Then I am a crazy neurotic bunny mama. So when I say this, people, your listeners are probably going to be like, this lady is freaking nuts. Like, what is wrong with her? But
let's try them. They might be crazy too. Yeah. So let's see.
Yeah. So I already picked out the emergency vets that we would take them to in LA. If by chance we landed and we got to our hotel room and they like one of them or both of them maybe weren't eating or whatever the case is. So I had that on standby. I brought critical care that's their tube feeding formula. Mm-hmm. So I could feed it to them through a syringe if they weren't really hungry. I brought like a whole first aid kit, and we had one of our 5 suitcases that we told you we left New York with was just dedicated to bunny stuff.
Yeah.
Because remember, they weren't bonded yet. So we also had to figure out a way to keep them separate in the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
So we had these like clear plastic, lightweight, like boards that kind of clipped together.
Mm-hmm.
So those went in the carrier, their folded caging went in the, I'm sorry, not in the carrier, in the suitcase, their folding caging went in the suitcase too.
Yeah.
Along with folding litter boxes and folding water bottle, like water bowls.
The rabbits had their own suitcase.
They sure did.
Yeah.
And then we also put in some pellets, enough pellets for both legs of the trip.
Yeah.
And I think we put some hay in there too, just in case. And then what I had done is I think it was before we actually got on the plane, I had ordered an Instacart order from the local Petco in LA to deliver hay to our hotel. and I delivered fresh veggies from the local supermarket to our hotel. Well, so all the bunny stuff was there when we were there.
Well, it's funny when we got to the hotel, I didn't realize that it was not a pet friendly hotel. So we had to just put our coats on top of the bunnies. Like they were just like, hello.
Luckily
they don't make sound, so we were fine.
Yeah, but it was also pretty late we arrived to, so there was nobody at the front desk, and it was during COVID, so they were
they were already didn't want any contact with anyone anyway.
Doing contactless check-in.
I've just got this image now of like stacking bunnies on like under a hat or something. It's like,
that's exactly kind of what it was. And this was after, I don't know if you're familiar, this airport in LA that we had landed in. Like the Uber and Lyft.
LAX?
Yes. LAX. That's the name of the airport. The Uber and Lyft station is literally like a mile walk from the terminal we got out of. So it's like 9:30 p.m. We're trying, just the two of us, trying to handle five suitcases and there's two rabbits. And we're like trying to walk a mile in this unknown place.
Yeah.
And there's a garbage fire across the side of the road.
Oh,
and
then
it was
wild.
Something else.
It was so, and we were both like delirious at this point because we were so exhausted from traveling. And I was so like concerned about the bunnies. But they did great that first flight. They were munching. They had their cilantro. They were drinking water. They were such good sports.
Okay.
The plane was so empty because it was during COVID that the flight attendants didn't mind that we had them up on our seats. Like they were still in their carriers, but we had the lids open.
Yeah, they would come peek their head out and look around.
So then, first leg was good. The second leg was also good, but when we got to the airport, when we went to check in, obviously traveling with rabbits in general, but especially rabbits as emotional support animals is like not heard of. So when we checked in, the person who checked us in was like, "Oh, you can't bring rabbits on this plane." And I'm like, no, don't worry. Like,
we've got a letter from your boss. Like, here you go.
All the corporate stuff, my proof, like the emails back and forth, all my paperwork. Yeah. I was like, no, like we got permission. It's fine. And they still were like, "Oh, but the captain of the plane can still say no." And I was like,
"Yeah." So they had made a note on the reservation approving it.
Yeah.
And basically, the front gate people said, "Yeah, they approved it, but we don't know if we're going to approve it," and that's not okay.
Right. So imagine that we had just traveled 3,000 miles. We literally, it's not like we were on vacation going somewhere.
No. You're moving.
Yeah.
We were moving and we were stuck in the middle of our journey told, "Oh, you may not be able to bring your rabbits."
It's going to be the pilot's decision and the pilot won't be here for another hour or so.
So it was, we got there like 2 or 3 hours early.
Yeah, because we wanted to make, because of this, we wanted to make sure that everything would be perfectly fine.
So it was 3 hours of agony. I was like bawling and
what are you going to do? Yeah.
Crazy drama queen in the middle of this airport because I was just like, what the hell are we gonna do?
Yeah.
So luckily Jason had somebody on like speed dial.
I was calling corporate, I was calling this, I was calling that. The lady that I spoke with, if it wasn't Hawaiian Airlines, who are the nicest people in the world,
so
because
nice.
They're from Hawaii, they're so kind. I never would have been able to speak to the lady. They went out of their way and woke up the woman.
It was 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, they went and woke her up to make sure and validate that, yes, she had given permission. She called me. At this time, it's 5 a.m., apologizing. "So I am so sorry this happened, this and this and this and this." And the next thing we knew, all of a sudden, everyone's walking up to us saying, "Oh, we are so sorry, this and this. It is not, we figured out it is not going to be an issue." And we're like, "Yeah, we know it's not going to be an issue."
But of course, for me, like if I'm sitting there thinking, so luckily that was fine. And the second leg of the trip was great. Yep. We did the same thing. I had an Instacart order ready with hay and vegetables to our new place. And then we walked in the door, we let them out of their carriers and they both ran around and sniffed. And then we still have this picture of the two of them. They both just sat down, like flopped over right next to each other.
Yeah.
Just like taking it all in.
Yeah, they were happy.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
What did the hotel in LA think about hay being delivered to your house, to your hotel?
I don't know. I don't think they even thought.
I don't think anyone was paying attention to anything.
Oh, thank goodness.
It was like the month after that COVID really hit. So everyone just kind of looked at everyone else and was like, just stay away from me and there's not going to be any issue. And that's kind of how it was.
Yeah, I don't think anybody...
No one cared.
Even batted an eyelash, I guess. I don't know.
That is so lucky. So happy for you. Like, that's amazing.
I know.
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think about traveling with my ferrets. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I have to drive. Can't do it.
You know, that's what we said once we got
Hawaii.
They're not going anywhere.
Rabbits are Hawaiian.
They're Hawaiian rabbits now. They're not going
anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Wow. Not as exciting as that, but I wanted to ask, so I don't know much about rabbits, but I've joined a Reddit page on rabbits because I'm like, I want to know more because I'm talking to people about rabbits, so I probably should do some research. And I've seen this thing about flopping and binkies. What on earth is that? What is it?
Oh my god, it's so cute.
Yeah.
Bunnies have their own. I'm sure dog and cat parents have the same, like some sort of similar language, but like a bunny flop is when a rabbit is like, you know, sitting on all fours or standing on all fours, and all of a sudden they'll just like throw themselves to the side on the floor, like literally how a person would flop
and just lay there kind of like this, and like it looks like something's wrong with them, like you kind of want to be like, oh my god, are they okay?
Like you walk into a room and you don't see them flopped over, like you don't see them do the flop, you just see them laying there like this kind of, and
looks a bit dead.
Have to go up, like we've gone up and be like, is he breathing? Is he okay? And it's perfectly fine. Yeah.
There was one time Parker had flopped. Remember this? We got this on video.
Because rabbits don't sleep, like they sleep, but they most of the time they're sitting there with their eyes open.
Well, ours do. Yeah. Some rabbits do visibly sleep, but ours are not rabbits.
They're not like that. No.
They're not. I mean, they obviously sleep. They rest, but we've never seen them like full on eyes closed.
Really?
So Parker was totally in flop mode. He had flopped over and was so
snoring.
He was so zonked out that we were afraid. I was like, is he okay? And Jason's like, I don't know.
I'm sitting there poking him. I'm sitting there like holding his paw up and like, but he was breathing. Like we could tell he was breathing perfectly fine.
He was so zonked out. And Jason was just like, moving his paw around, like gently poking him, like Parker, wake. And so finally
she went and got some greens and she just went and put it by his nose and all of a sudden he was wide awake.
Yeah, so that's a flop. Okay. A binky is when a rabbit what I've known with the majority of my rabbits and what you'll see in most of the videos on social media about a bunny binky is like they'll get a running start and then almost like if you've seen those jumps that people do,
click their heels.
Their heels together,
that's what they do.
A rabbit kind of does that. It's either like shooting their legs out, or they'll like twist their body.
Yeah,
in
they'll
the
spin.
Air.
They'll like it's, also do a so, spin, like.
But what Theo does, and I've never seen this before, we had him, is he'll just do it in place. Like he'll.
Yes. He doesn't even get a running start. No. He just starts doing it in place.
No, he was doing it the other day. Yeah. He'll just in his place. He'll just jump straight up in the air and like twist his body around or like jerk. It almost looks like they run to like jerk around in the air, kind of.
And what does it mean?
It means they're happy or they're excited. And a flop means that they're comfortable or they're like really happy. So our bunnies are major floppers. Both of them flop city when it comes to these two. Parker is a bigger binkier than Theo, but like I don't know. Theo does those weird binkies where they're just in place.
When they get excited, they'll do what's called zoomies.
Oh yeah, zoomies.
So it's where they just kind of like it's just what you would imagine. They just go it's like a laser going around. Like when they'll come on the bed to wake us up for breakfast, they'll come on and just all over us, just back forth all of us. So finally you're just like, I whatever, all right, let's get off.
I guess I'm up now.
Yeah.
What's the other one? There's another one.
Is it?
There's a word for when rabbits sometimes they lay on their bellies and their feet are just straight out behind them. So like I think it's called a sploot.
Oh, I've heard of people saying that about their
about
their dogs before. So. That's cute. So another thing I saw on Reddit that I was like, what is this? It said no photos of them lying on their backs. And I'm like, what? Like, what's.
Oh, that because about? That's it. That could mean that they are dead. Yeah.
Or what? They really don't. If you get a rabbit on their back, for the most part, every rabbit I think is probably different. Like I have seen some rabbits very comfortably like nestled in somebody's arms
and laying on their back
like a baby, and that's very comfortable. They're fine. Like so, there are exceptions, but for the most part, if a rabbit's on its back, it's a bad thing.
Because they're prey animals, so
so you won't find them.
Yeah, so from what I've read, they're because they're prey animals, if they're on their back, it means they're playing dead. So they want to act like no one bothers them.
They're probably really scared.
But, or, yeah, they're very, so basically if they're domesticated and they're doing that, that means something really bad has happened. They're very scared. So it's whatever the reason that it's happening, something is causing it. So it's supposed to be a sign for concern. But yeah, I have seen things of rabbits that oddly just do it and just like doing it.
Yeah,
and
like there was a video I saw on social media the other day. Oh no, it was a picture. I showed it to you. Remember? Mm-hmm. I was like, what is this rabbit doing? And it was just very happy, just like splayed out on its back, all its feet.
And that's just not what rabbits, that's not what they do.
But it was obviously very alive, very well. It was fine.
It has to feel very comfortable with its owner.
Yeah, that's all I got. I don't know. Some rabbits are, they just have, you know, every rabbit's different, I guess. But in general, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to put them on their backs either. Like,
okay.
People who cradle them like a baby.
They're not supposed to. You're not really supposed to do that.
But because it scares them or what?
Yeah. Whenever,
because since they're prey animals, they always want to be alert at what's going on. So if they're on their back, they're not able to, you know, they feel very like.
If their feet aren't on the ground, they're usually not comfortable.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of rabbits don't like to be picked up.
Yep.
Or, it's not exactly related, but you're also not supposed to put rabbits in water. Like, you're not supposed
to. Yeah, what's up with that?
Maybe themselves.
Their fur or?
So it scares them.
Okay.
I don't know the mechanics of it. Like, I don't know the details of it, but I do know it scares the majority of them, and they could have a heart attack because they're they're prey animals. So anytime they're in the air, in water, which is not their natural habitat, on their back or like somewhere where their feet are not on the ground or like sturdy, it puts them in a position where they are so stressed out that they could have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Like rabbits can die from stress just because of that. So
does that mean you can't pick up your rabbits or?
No.
So you don't?
You should feel out how your rabbit is.
Some rabbits have no problem with it. They'll let you pick them up. They love being picked up.
Yeah. Like my two rabbits prior, my first rabbit and Poppy that we mentioned, they both liked being picked up. Both of them were just huge cuddle monsters, loved to be like snuggled and picked up, would jump up into your lap.
And from what I understand, when you've told me this, when they get older, they get a lot more comfortable with that
stuff. I don't
know
if that's everyone, that's been my experience with my bunnies so far. But our bunnies, Parker and Theo, we cannot pick up Theo.
Yeah.
And that was what Jason was alluding to when we had to go take them through security when we went to the airport when we moved with them, is that you have to take your animal out of the carrier to go through security.
Oh my gosh. So they can scan the cage?
Yes. And so Theo doesn't like to be picked up. He's a rabbit where every time you pick him up, he's actually had traumatic fall, because we learned the first time. But he really hurt himself the first time. He jumped out of my arms and he actually fell downstairs because I didn't know that he was a rabbit that didn't
want
to be picked up. So ever since then, I'm like, we've decided, we're like, there's got to be a fire that we're trying to get them out of the apartment. That is the only way that Theo is allowed to be picked up by anybody, by us or anybody, because he'll actually put himself in danger. Jump out of your arms, not caring where he's gonna land.
Yeah,
he really hurt himself. So
he's
one of those. Parker, when we first got him, was way more amenable to being picked up, but I think it was because he was so traumatized. So now that he's comfortable with us, he has made it very clear he's decided he does not want to be a rabbit that's picked up. We have to, if we have to give him medication or something like that, it's a little bit. Like, if we ever have to give Theo medication, we will go out of our way to find a way to give it to him on the ground. Like, we'll have to, like, both
lie
of us.
Down.
Like, lock him in place on the ground somehow and give him medication. But Parker is a little easier, but he does not like to be picked up.
No.
So, So if you have a rabbit, feel it out. Like, you know, in the beginning, pick them up, like, very small heights is what I would recommend. How they react, pick them up, put them back down, Because what Theo does is he'll jump out of your arms as you're putting him down. Right. So you don't have a good grasp on him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he gets scared. Or if you pick him up for too long, if you have him in the air for too long, he'll just straight up jump right out of your arms. So I would do it at a smaller height so that if you do have a rabbit that doesn't like to be picked up, if they jump, they're not at risk of falling from like 5 feet in the air. Mm. It's like 2 feet. And I would just like, you know, keep checking in with them because as they get older, they might change. They may want to be picked up or they might not. And so, yeah, but that is one misconception that not all rabbits like to be picked up.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to my childhood now. Did I pick up any rabbits that didn't like it? I probably did, unfortunately.
Well, there's so
many. No one ever told me that.
There's so many like misconceptions about rabbits and how they're kind of like fictionalized throughout, you know, Bugs Bunny, this, you know, so you sit there and imagine, and it's really not anyone's fault. It's, you know, for one, people don't realize the amount of care that has to go into taking care of a rabbit. So,
yeah, your previous guest had talked to that.
Yes.
We'll get to that at least.
So we adopted Theo, and it had nothing to do with the day. We just happened to adopt him on Easter.
Right.
We'd been talking about it for a month or two.
I didn't even remember it was Easter.
Yeah, we're not.
Until they told us at the rescue, it's Easter, right? So,
I guess a lot of, at the rescues, they get a lot of people that come for rabbits because it's like, oh, it's Easter. I'm going to get my kid a rabbit. And, you know, you don't realize what it takes, what goes into taking care of them. And there's so many misconceptions. So you sit there and you get a rabbit. You might not do research. Next thing you know, you've been feeding them carrots.
Or it's too hard to take care of and you just let them loose in the wild or something. Or carrots, like you mentioned.
Yeah, there's just a lot of things that you have to learn. A lot of people just think that rabbits are a plant-based diet. So you just give it all these plants, and that's not good. You're supposed to give them, I think it's 10 or 15% is supposed to be vegetables. It's all supposed to be, for the most part, hay.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, once if you are just feeding them vegetables, they're going to eventually get a lot of illnesses
their teeth might have problems. Yeah. They might, you know, stuff like that. So
I've definitely seen people having them in hutches outside and then just moving them around because like then they eat the grass for you. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and they're meant to be, you know, rabbits are really, not everyone can do this in their home, but they're meant to have a lot of space. They're meant to run around. So
yeah.
When I see people that have, you know, it's one thing if you keep your rabbit overnight, maybe in a more confined place, but even that, you kind of have to give them some room in there. So people that just put them in a cage or something, I look at it as abuse because
they don't know most of the time. It's
unintentional. Education needs to happen, which is why I'm looking at this podcast. And
there's a thing called the internet. You just Google something and it'll tell you.
It amazes me how many people don't think to do that though. Like,
I know.
Well, I think what it comes down to is like, if you don't think that there's a reason to search for
yeah, like I already know the answer to this. So
on rabbits, then you're not gonna. And I think that's where the problem is. I don't think it's that people aren't willing to search for more information. I think it's just, like, we think of rabbits and we're like, oh, rabbits like carrots. And it's just like, that's ingrained, you know? So it's like, you don't think, oh, should I check and make sure that that's actually okay for rabbits?
And rabbits live in rabbit hutches.
Yeah.
And yeah. Exactly. You don't think about wires on feet or that they need more space because it's called a rabbit hutch. So
Exactly.
Yeah. I was glad to see that. I was dropping off some flyers about ferrets at some pet shops the other day because I'm trying to do an outreach for better ferret care, linking them to the podcast and a list of tips so that they can pick up the tips and at least go, okay, at least I know that I cannot just feed them raw mints and that is it. At least I got that out to them. And they're like, oh, do you do the rabbit one too? And I'm like, no. So at least there's someone out there giving out rabbit information.
Yeah, that's great.
So maybe other people should be doing that. Hint, hint, any listeners. But
hint, hint.
because pet shops often give the wrong information out. Definitely. Yep. I was going to say one of our ferrets. We got her, not my husband and I, my previous partner, and I got her, and she was being fed Subway sandwiches by the people in the pet shop. And I was like, "You're giving her what now? Like salami?" And I'm like, "She doesn't like the bread." I'm like, "No, really? Like, really? You think she doesn't like the bread? Okay."
Oh my gosh.
Like, yeah, we got a chicken sandwich for her the other day. I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, yeah, I think I'm so glad to hear that there's more education out
there. People are trying. People are trying.
I think so, yeah. Because once that happened to me with my first rabbit. We didn't know, and we just got my first rabbit from a Petco, and they told us feed him oats and pellets. There was no mention of vegetables. They mentioned hay, but it was not emphasized that hay should be the majority of the diet. We took very well, very good care of him though, for sure. But I think we got lucky. Like we gave him baths and he was fine because he happened to be very cuddly. He liked to be picked up and we introduced it to him. I got him when he was a baby. So I think he just like didn't, you know, but that's something that I look back on really seeing. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I could have really harmed him. And it's just because we weren't well prepared from the pet store.
Yeah. We're still learning things.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's still learning, you know, things. There's still stuff that we're, you know, Parker right now has something that's called sore hocks, which
Have you talked about that at all with
It came up when people were saying that cages aren't good, so the wire on the floor and they can cause sore hocks. But I didn't know that a free roaming rabbit could get that. How does that happen?
A couple of reasons. We're still trying to really narrow down
why Parker
is prone to it. But what we've come, that's part of the reason he's on a diet is because our vet is thinking that because he's so large and he's not obese, he's just,
no, he's got a big frame. He fills out the frame. Yeah.
Yeah, he does. But he has some room to lose some weight according to the vet. So the vet thinks that because he's so large, and we have in our apartment, it's not like it's your typical rug, you know, it's not carpet that's very fluffy and like the kind of carpet that's installed flooring. It's just your low pile general rug. And that can get kind of scratchy and rough.
Oh yeah.
And all the friction for a big rabbit. That's what the vet is thinking is causing him to be prone to it.
A carpet burn or something.
Say that again?
Carpet burn or something.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly. A lot. Well, he also, that's why you said that, because when he gets scared, and he gets scared very easily because, right, like we said, street bunny mentality, he'll bolt off and you can tell, I mean, it's not good for your feet the way he runs away because he's sliding on the carpet like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't help. So,
yeah. Another thing that can cause it too. So there's weight and like friction from the floor. So it's not just wiring on the feet that can cause sore hocks. It's any kind of hard surface. Or now that we're learning even too, the friction from like a low pile carpet. It's like Parker of, again, street bunny mentality, lots of trauma. He has this habit, which is very unusual for rabbits, that he sometimes like doesn't do a good job of keeping his feet dry. Like usually if a rabbit urinates in their litter box, they'll like hop around, you know, they'll like urinate and then they'll like move out of the way and maybe they'll lick their feet to clean themselves or whatever. Mm-hmm. Parker does not. He'll just urinate and sit in it. So it's kind of like, and I've been told this is trauma behavior in bunnies because my previous bunny Poppy, she used to drink her urine, and that's from a rabbit who had spent a lot of time in a place where they didn't get adequate water. So we think it's probably related to how his, like, before we got him. So that's one thing. If the feet are not kept dry, it can, that moisture can really like make it a prime habitat for sore hocks. And then the final thing is their nails. We get these rabbits' nails clipped every 4 weeks on the dot because we know that Parker is prone to these sores.
Yeah. So,
but if their nails are not clipped well or kept clipped, that pressure goes on the back of their heel. So no matter what kind of flooring they're on, and especially if you have a heavier rabbit, mm-hmm. you might find that your rabbit is more prone to them if their nails are not clipped or kept right. clipped. Yeah.
And it's difficult too, because, you know, a dog might, you know, you'll know if a dog's in pain, you'll know right. if a dog's hurting.
Yeah.
Rabbits don't make sound, and they don't let you know these things. So no. you kind of have to just pay attention to the patterns, you know, what their behavior is, how they're, yeah. if they look down, if they look sad, if they aren't being as active, if, you know, yeah. there's a lot of different signs you have to pay attention to, because you can go a while, and if you're not paying attention, have no idea, these things can sneak up on you, you know, yeah. stasis, this, that. And so yeah. you constantly have to be or making sure an infected sore hawk, you know, just yeah. any of this stuff. And you should really
have to know your rabbit.
Yeah. And yeah. you really should be paying attention. You should make sure, you know, you're kind of at least once a week exploring, you know, just kind of looking at them. Maybe mm-hmm. that means picking them up real quick and just checking it out.
Or not, if you have a rabbit that does not.
But just, you should, you know, if he's laying, down flat out, you can kind of look at his feet, you yeah. can this, you can that, you know, there's a lot of signs that'll tell you these things, because they're not going to tell you.
No.
So you really have to
be like an investigator.
Yeah.
Like yeah. I know, I try to, when one of our bunnies are like laying down, I'll try to like feel their belly really fast, just because I want to know what it feels like normally, so that if it's hard for some reason mm-hmm. or if they're gassy or whatever, like so that I can feel the difference. And yep. some people might think that's a little bit of an overkill, no, but
I don't think so. Particularly, you think it is? Okay.
What are you doing?
But how many times has it led to something?
I know. I'm not saying
like
that.
We caught something early.
It's funny.
I mean, that's why humans do self-checks, isn't it? So you know right. things. Yeah, what yeah. it feels like normally, so you know what it isn't later on. Yeah. So what kinds of things other than that do you have to watch out for that I didn't maybe mention with the other guest I had, like that might need a vet or might need extra care?
Oh, man. What
lots of
isn't
things.
Something? The list of what isn't alarming is,
oh,
is
gosh, okay.
shorter than what is alarming.
I think I have warped his view a little bit, because I get anxious and want to bring them to the vet about a lot of things that maybe aren't emergencies, but
yeah, I got to talk her off the ledge a lot.
Yeah, but we also have we also happen to have Parker, who is prone to a lot of things.
Yeah.
And even Theo too, he's got a sensitive tummy. So like mm-hmm. he goes in, if I give him the tiniest piece of like a tiny, tiny, maybe like half of a dime sized piece of an apple or something, mm-hmm. any fruit at all, he goes into stasis. It's just like,
yeah.
He's very, very sensitive.
That's actually, now that you brought that up, that's a big sign to tell if something's wrong too. If you want to see if something's wrong and you coax them with, let's say it's some sort of a treat, that could be, mm-hmm. That could be a little piece of banana, a little piece of this, little piece of, and they don't go for it, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like there is some sort of an underlying issue there. So we've tested that a lot of times.
Yeah,
you know,
to see if it's an emergency.
Yeah, and if we know that they're not eating that, there's an emergency.
Yeah,
we don't know what it is, but we should take them to the vet. Yeah.
Yeah, if they don't like bananas.
Yeah. I mean, if you hand me a slice of pizza and I don't eat it, I should probably go to the hospital. There's something.
Yeah. So yeah, I think there's a lot of, I think the biggest thing about rabbits is that, unfortunately, there's a lot that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
They are pretty fragile animals. So one thing that you can do as a bunny owner, the best thing is just to really get to know your rabbit. Know mm-hmm. their mannerisms, know their habits, know, you know, like we know, for example, Parker is a carrier of a respiratory bug. And mm-hmm. we found that out because he has this extensive history with respiratory illness and things like that. So if Theo sneezes like 3 times in a row, I'll be mm-hmm. worried, because that's not Theo. But if Parker sneezes a few times, I'll be like, oh, okay, well, let's see if it's a pattern. Like mm-hmm. I won't get as worried, because I know he's just a sneezy bunny and he's fine. But if he starts sneezing more, like 8 times in a row, then I know, all right, we got to watch him. There's something maybe a brewing here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think just really spend time with them, know what they're like. Yeah. So that you can tell when something's off is the biggest thing.
Yeah. So this is going to add up, obviously. How much savings do you think people should have before they get a bunny for vet or just general care? Like, how much do you spend in a year? Do you know?
So it's a good question. Yeah, it's difficult. Like, we'll be on. One thing I would recommend to anybody is, especially with social media and everything like that, is if you're a novice, not even if you're a novice, if you do have a knowledge, join bunny groups.
Yeah.
There's so many discussion forums and chat groups. And, you know, there are so many times where she's posted a question and there's been so many great answers. You have to weed out. There's obviously people that have no idea what they're talking about. You just kind of like, okay, yeah, you know, but that's one thing I would highly recommend. But because of that, I'll read a lot of people that we are so lucky that we don't have these things. And there's bunnies that have issues that have to be dealt with every few months. You know, some bunnies, like there's Holland Lops that, their teeth overgrow, so they need to be shaved down every few months. Otherwise, they will literally overgrow down.
Is that all of them?
It's a good portion of them. From what it's more prone in them. So they got to pay to get it that done every few months, and that's a couple $100 at least just to do that. Mm-hmm. So, it just depends. It's like any other animal. You could have an animal that just never really gets anything, and then you could have ones that are like Parker that are just sick all the time. The vet visits aren't traumatizingly expensive as long as you get there's bunny care, is that what it's called?
So in the US, there's one insurance carrier that actually covers bunnies.
That's good.
It's Nationwide. So both of our bunnies have a plan with Nationwide, and that's been really helpful.
Yeah.
It's maybe not helpful for every rabbit, but the way that I calculate it is, for example, if our premium, which this is back when we signed on, it's changed since then, but back when we signed on, if our yearly premium was, I think it was like $144 a year or something.
Which we surpass.
Right. Like, would my question that I asked is, would I save at least $144 a year with this insurance? And it saved us a ton of money.
Overwhelmingly.
It really did. So that in that case, it's worth it. But if you're not somebody who's spending more than your premium, or at least as much as your premium on vet visits and things like that, then it might not be worth it. But that's one thing. So that's one cost. Another cost is the hay. We get our hay delivered from Amazon right now, but actually we've been able to source some local farms to get hay from that's a little bit more affordable. So I would recommend if you can get it sourced, it's local, that's probably going to be more affordable. And the best, as far as I know, the best types of hay for rabbits are Timothy and orchard grass. So, so that's another expense. For Parker, as I mentioned, he like sits in his urine, so it's not good for him or for his feet for him to just be in a litter box with just hay or newspaper or something. We actually have to get the bedding, the odor absorbing fluffy bedding. So that's probably the most expensive thing that we buy for them.
I'd probably estimate really fast. If you weren't taking into account vet visits, which again, if you have just a, you know, a bunny that's not that bad, you're not gonna have to worry about as much, probably $100 a month on a bunny.
See, that's what I thought, but I've been tracking it because we've been trying to figure out like more affordable sources for our supplies. I thought it was $100 a month, but it's not. It's probably, so the hay itself is $100 a month from Amazon. It's $50 per
bunny.
No, per every $50 every 2 weeks. So that's $100 a month.
Is this why I'm getting a second job?
So yeah, the hay alone is $100 a month. And then the bedding, we also,
that's expensive.
That's expensive.
Yeah.
And then we buy their vegetables from the farmer's market because this is wild. Theo knows the difference.
He will not eat if it's not organic. Like if you just give him regular, he will not eat it. He will not eat it.
He is such a bougie bunny. He will not eat lettuce that's not local to the island. Before, when we lived in New York, he wouldn't eat it if it wasn't organic. Like, he would eat the organic lettuce, but any of the other lettuce, he wouldn't touch it.
Now he
won't even have the organic one. He just wants the local lettuce.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's so funny. I know that he knows the difference. He also will not drink tap water here.
Yeah. Oh. We have to filter
his water.
He doesn't know the difference of that, so.
So I think I would guesstimate like maybe 120 to 100 and no, I think I would say $150 a month that we spend on our bunnies. Keeping in mind that's with the extra bedding, we need that for Parker. I haven't needed that for my past bunnies. Mm-hmm. And there's two of them. So our supplies is all double. We need twice the amount of hay, twice the amount of bedding, twice the amount of vegetables. So as far as startup costs, I think I would say...
You're probably spending $1,500 to $2,000 annually on...
Yeah. On startup costs?
No, just on a bunny.
Oh, okay.
Oh, startup stuff. Yeah, then there's...
You would need a litter box. You would need the initial like pellets and food and hay and stuff like that, toys...
You want to always keep them entertained.
Yeah, what toys do they like? You mentioned toys, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, our bunnies are weird. We go through such lengths to find toys for them because they've chewed our baseboards, and so
we'll think that we find something. We're like, oh my god, they're gonna love this, and they don't go near it.
Don't touch it. And the only thing we found that they both love relentlessly is you found these balls that
they're from Australia, actually.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh. There's like a little opening and you can put like treats or pellets in there.
Okay.
And so you can close it just enough so that one or two
might fall out. Yeah.
As they roll it around. Mm-hmm. So our fur babies are very food derived. They love treats. They love food. And so they will chase this ball around all day long because they know that there's food in it.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's kind of, they like the tunnel thing.
Yeah. They like the tunnel. They'll just be random things that you would never think that they would care about that they just absolutely love you have no idea why.
But every rabbit's different too. Like Poppy, my bunny before these two, she loved to play with my keys. Like my apartment keys, she would just pick them up and throw them down.
Yeah, that was very cute. Bowls.
Yeah. She also loved like those little empty plastic bowls. She'd just pick them up.
She'd pick them with her teeth and throw them and then run over to it and pick it up and throw it back. Yeah. And like,
yeah. So she wasn't, yeah, she was, that was,
she was easy entertained.
Super easy. These two though, they need like action. Like they need new things to sniff. They need new environments. They're constantly trying to sneak.
Got a new 4K TV. They're
they're gonna have a blast with all this new furniture that we bought. They're gonna have a blast because it's all new things to sniff.
Yeah.
They're constantly trying to race out our front door because we like won't let them out there, and so. They're the kind of bunnies where if we go to close the door, they immediately
want to go wherever because it's somewhere where they're not allowed to go. So
So everybody is different. Ours just they decide what they want as a toy, and we can never predict it.
Yeah.
You said that they're locked away right now because of you building the furniture and that they're angry with you. What does that look like for a rabbit?
Oh
like...
my gosh. Well, they thumped.
That's fine. Yeah. That's so when they're angry
or scared.
Yeah. When they're angry or scared for us, they're angry because they're not
tap
scared.
The ground with them.
They'll
they thump their leg. Yeah. And so, you know, that they're pissed off. So,
so they thumped at me. I went in to check on them right before we started recording. They thumped at me. They also, we happen to have, our apartment is laid out so that like half of the wall in the bedroom they're in and our wall in the room that we're in are glass windows. Okay. So I can see into their room from the room that I'm in. And I could just see them. They both ran up to the glass and they're like looking at me and they're like standing on their hind legs and scratching at the door. And they're just like, I don't know. Yeah, they're just like, and then I actually did go in there into the room before we started recording, mm-hmm. and Theo tried to shoot out of the room.
Yeah.
And I had to hold him back with my, I had my heels and my legs were together. I was trying to create a wall with my legs so he couldn't get through.
It is fairly funny. You'll come into spaces and just have no idea how they got up on something. It just doesn't make sense how they were able to figure out a way to get up there, but they're up there. They figured it out.
It's mainly Theo with ours. Parker, we don't really find Park. Oh no, we found him under the couch recently. Yeah,
we found him inside our couch once.
Oh, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Inside the couch. We
chewed
found
a hole.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they chewed the bottom and then Parker
and then jumped inside of it. So we went 10 minutes searching around for him everywhere until Meg, I lifted the couch and Meg saw a weird bubble coming out from the bottom.
We found Theo in the bathtub one morning.
Yeah, he was there overnight because he jumped
in. I
don't
think he was there
overnight. Oh, he was there for a while. He jumped in and couldn't find his way out.
So we shut the bathroom door while we were sleeping from then on.
Yeah.
Also, there's this high table next to our bed that a couple mornings I would wake up, Theo would just be hanging out on top of the table. And
knocking
I'm
crap over.
Get there?
So, the dangers of things in free range, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you have to be so, so unbelievably careful with things. Yeah. Wires.
Bunny,
every wire. Yes. You need to tuck away and hide because it will get, and no one's perfect. Believe me, we are not perfect. We've gone through so many different.
How many phone chargers?
Oh, geez. Because you just think, all right, it's good. I put
they're
it in a place and
get it.
They find a way.
They find a way.
Nature finds a way.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of people have been asking me what is about inside and outside rabbits. And obviously you like inside rabbits and I think I like the sound of them too because I'd like to have them around me. But how did you come to that decision yourselves, I guess? And do you know anything about outside rabbits and why it's preferable to be inside or anything?
I would imagine that
you're able to control your environment a lot more inside than you are outside. That's one thing.
But
foxes and stuff are a thing.
Yeah,
yes. Anything.
Thing.
It could
be.
I mean, you get scared. You get worried about just birds. Like when we were in New York, there's what was the bird that we were worried
hawks.
About? Hawks. Yeah. There's big hawks out there. They'll just swoop down and just grab something, and you know.
That's never happened to us or
no,
anybody
but it,
we know. But we mentioned that our apartment was a duplex and that building mm-hmm. had a rooftop. So I would bring the bunnies up to the roof when they
to
wanted
play,
to
yeah.
play. Yeah, to play. And I would be so nervous because I would be constantly scanning the skies. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, is there a hawk anywhere? You just don't know. I don't know.
You don't know what they're going to chew on, that they shouldn't be chewing on.
Yeah.
You don't know what other people are. They're just.
Or dogs.
Yeah,
or,
that dogs.
Also, something that I was less aware of until we moved here, but there's also, you have to be careful about bacteria.
Yeah.
Too. For rabbits. Like, I mean, I guess like. Obviously there are wild rabbits that, you know, that's like not a problem for.
But how long is their lifespan? You don't know.
I don't know.
It's a lot less. And I think that they're used to eating, their stomach gets a little, you know, just like anybody else, you get them a little more used to that. Whereas us, we're getting our bunnies organic this, organic that. So if they eat the wrong thing that maybe they're not supposed to eat, it's going to treat them differently than it might, you know, a wild rabbit.
There's also like, bacteria that cause certain things in rabbits, like Pasteurella mm-hmm. can cause like head tilt, which is when rabbits, their head is like stuck tilted. My first rabbit died of that actually. So, and it scared me because we had him running around the yard all the time. We would just, you know, and I'm not saying that's where he got it from, like our front yard.
Is that what they were talking about that got that went around the U.S. with the
greens?
No,
that's rabbit hemorrhagic disease. RHD, and it's still going around.
Yeah, you. That's another thing you have to be very careful of, is you'll get updates that
it's a virus.
There's a virus that they like. They found on a lot of the greens and the
that are produced in the U.S.
in like, the farm. So like California, yeah, this that. So Arizona, it's like you go through spaces of time where you're like, have to figure out where the greens were actually come from, mm-hmm. because if they come from that state, you cannot give it to your,
well, I mean, you should wash it first.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not safe, really safe to give it to them. So you have to be careful.
I personally didn't feel safe giving it to them, but I didn't want us to give it to our rabbits, but I don't know if that's how the majority of bunny parents felt about it. I think most of them, at least the ones that I did, felt the same way, but so I personally feel like there's a lot of dangers to rabbits who are outside, whether it's predators, bacteria, whether, you know, there's viruses. There's just, I personally feel like there's too many threats. And so
we let them out on our lanai, our patio. Like, they'll come
but that's
out
different
of,
than an outside pet rabbit.
Yeah. So.
Mm. Yeah, around here there's myxomatosis, so it's a poison that they put out, a disease that they put out for rabbits to get rid of the wild rabbits. They did it like ages ago, like 50 years ago, I think. And so of course pet rabbits can get it too, so you have to be vaccinated against that and like avoid. Yeah,
that's so crazy.
Yeah, because I mean they're destroying our environment, so that's why they did it. But it was like, because they're not native. And destroying our native populations of animals. But, they have to be careful with that, and they have to be careful with the heat, because I had a childhood friend whose rabbit passed away. It was an outside rabbit, and her mum forgot to bring it in on a hot day, and she came home and passed away from heat. So,
I just feel like there's...
It's very tricky.
Or... threats.
I agree, but people have outside ferrets too, and I don't want to
I mean, I think if you're willing to,
you have to weigh it up for yourselves, I think. I can see the benefits of inside pets, if someone else has some other reason, then is that that's their choice.
For my first rabbit, my dad was highly allergic to all animals. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't have my first rabbit in our home.
Okay.
So my dad, being the woodsy guy that he is, went and like built him this like incredible, like huge cage. So he like hand built it. So there was a lot of space in there. He made his name was Oreo. He made Oreo a little house out of birch wood. So he could chew on it and hide in it. And he had tons of space. He was very happy there.
Roof to prevent.
Yep. And he was in our garage, so we knew he was safe from like animals, predators. It's a little warmer. It was a little warmer in our garage, and also on cold nights, I would go down and put like cover the cage with a blanket. So like we knew. So that's just a suggestion too for anybody who can't maybe keep their rabbits indoors. There is that intermediary, like maybe keeping them in a basement or a, you know, as long as their habitat
is fine and safe,
like they're, you know, then there is that intermediate.
Mm. And they actually enjoy interacting with people, don't they? Is that
right?
So they'll be lonely if they'd have to have at least a friend out there if they're outside rabbits.
Mm. As long as you go down and you're not running up, you know, like, ah, oh, bunny, they're not, you know, if you put your hand out, they'll come smell you. Once they smell you, they feel safe, and then you can, you know, pet them, and they're fine. And they're your friend from there on. Most of the time, most of the time.
So they wake you up in the morning, so that's cute. I like that.
Oh, yes. They wake us up in the morning. They let us know when it's gotten too late in the evening that we haven't fed them yet.
Yeah, when we know we got home past 6 o'clock to feed them, we'll jokingly say, like, oh, they're going to be ticked off when we get home.
they let us know when they're upset with us.
Yeah, that's how you know you have a good relationship, though, is when they when they let you know these things, then
Have you trained? So I've got so many questions, and I hope you don't mind a longer episode.
I don't mind.
Okay. Thank you. Have you trained them to do anything? Like, since you can't pick them up, do they come to their name or anything like that? Or
yes.
Well, they know their name, which is good.
They know their names.
Yeah. That was a bit of a...
Oh, yeah. We have the cutest video of them where, once again, we're in this, that part of our apartment I described where, like, with the glass and we can see mm-hmm. in from one room to another. So there was one time where my husband and I were in the office in the room that they're in, and the bunnies were in the living room, which mm-hmm. is the room that we're in right now. So we could see them through the glass door, but also the interior door was open, but I think there was caging there for some reason.
It was the tree.
What?
Oh, there was the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. So there was caging to keep them in this room anyway. So they could hear us even though the doors mm-hmm. were closed. And I was recording them, or one of us was recording, and we said, Parker, and Parker's little ear just like twitches, like it moves, so we know he heard us. And then we went, Theo,
and
then
his ear went up, so he knew. So we knew, like, okay, they know.
And also when we call them, they won't always come to us, but they'll, like,
their heads
will move. They'll
know, yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. We haven't officially trained them to do anything, but I know some people who have trained their mm-hmm. rabbits to do things. But what I will say is that I think probably something that's more special that we've developed with our rabbits is that we've developed a way to communicate with them. Like mm-hmm. They know when we're communicating with them, and they know how to communicate with me, with us.
Yeah.
Like I mm-hmm. always know when they want something, when they want a treat, when they want food, when they're thirsty. Like I yeah. always know what it is.
They know just, how to get our attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just by their mannerisms, by, you know, like they'll follow me around the kitchen and go on their hind legs if they want something to eat. Mm-hmm. Or as we mentioned, Parker is a bit of a greedy bunny when it comes to food. So Theo will let me know if he didn't get enough to eat. He'll come find me and like follow me around, get on his hind legs, mm-hmm. like let me know. He'll let me know. He'll, and it's fun because they each have their own little like love language. Like, mm-hmm. Parker's love language is when he climbs on top of you, he loves you.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. And Theo, when he lets you pet him, he loves you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Take what you can get. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. But it's very special. So it's not like, I guess we've trained them. They're litter trained.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I don't know. That's a huge help.
It is a big help.
Huge help.
There is a time period when you first get a bunny that you want them to be with you as much as possible. You know, when we first got Theo, we loved it when he would jump on the bed and yeah. go to sleep with us, because he'd mm-hmm. sit at the foot of the bed. We had one of those like little fireplace thing, the electronic fireplace.
He would just sit
and he would sit and stare at it. And it was the cutest thing. But the problem was he was halfway between being potty trained. So almost every day,
He'd pee
on our bed, and yeah. every damn day we would go to sleep, be like, I'll bet he's okay now. It was like too cute to kick him off the bed, and yeah. we never learned our lesson until yeah. you know, finally did get potty trained.
Yeah so litter, they are officially litter trained. They're not like trained to do any tricks, but mm-hmm. we've developed our own communication with them. And also, the one thing I'll say about this too is that it's not training necessarily, but they are on a schedule. Like,
yes.
they are.
Yes, very much.
I mean, to the T, they eat every 12 hours. And it's down to like
minutes.
Yeah. We know that if we feed them at 7 a.m.
and 7 p.m., they're going to be expecting
like
to eat.
7 p.m. So if we feed them at 6:30 and they're not like running toward us, we're like, oh well,
what time did you feed him this morning? We fed him that time. Oh, that's why they're not here, because yeah. it's not that time yet. Yeah,
yeah. They know exactly when we were in New York and we both were working outside of the apartment, they knew exactly when to yeah. expect us home. So
yeah, they really are the ultimate creature of habit.
Yeah,
like
they
want to be on a schedule. If you interrupt that schedule, they do not like that.
Yeah, that's true.
What do they do when you're out? Like, how do they spend their time? Do they just...
I want to imagine it's like Toy Story.
Yeah. They've got secret things they're doing.
Yeah, well, we do have a bunny cam, and they, like, so while we're gone, we can watch them. And, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it depends on, I mean, usually we're pretty much out mostly during the day, which is kind of their, like, downtime. They're more active, like, in the morning and mid-morning and then in the evening. So during the day, they're just, like, very loungy, kind of lazy, you know, just like laying around.
Yeah, they're excited during the morning, yeah, and then during the evening, and yeah, then during the afternoon, it's their downtime where, yeah, they're just lounging around. I mean, naps all day, basically. Yeah. It's probably about 5 o'clock that they come out of their, they arouse and start. It's like the sun has come out and they are looking around like for a new day at about 5 p.m.
Who would you recommend rabbits to? Like, what kind of person would be a good rabbit parent?
I would recommend rabbits to somebody. I don't recommend rabbits to small children.
Yes.
Or young
100%.
Children. 100%. Yep. I think that somebody who can put it up, I'll put it this way. I kind of see the necessary care of rabbits is somewhere between a cat and a dog. Whereas, mm-hmm, I've never had a cat or a dog, so I could be wrong in this. But from what I think or what I assume, a dog is probably takes the most care. You have to walk the dog. There's a lot of vet visits and like shots and stuff like that. And the dog needs a lot of attention most of the time, I would think. Mm-hmm. Many of them, if, you know, maybe not all of them, but, and then a cat for the most part, I think, is just
self-sufficient.
Yeah. They're just
put
happy.
Food into one point. You and
know,
they're fine.
They're kind of on their own. I'm sure many of them love and all that kind of stuff. But I think in general, they're probably a little bit more self, like they don't crave human attention maybe as much, mm-hmm, as dogs. Rabbits, I think, are in the middle where, like, you don't have the extra work of having to take them out for walks and stuff, although some people do, mm-hmm, but you don't have to, but they absolutely still need that love and attention. Mm-hmm. And so a good rabbit parent, I think, is somebody who is willing to at least give them that extra attention at a minimum, mm-hmm, and somebody who pays attention to detail, I think, yeah, is good. Because like we were saying, you have to, mm-hmm, know your rabbit. You have to kind of be on watching them all the time, pretty much. Maybe makes not sense. Every second, but like you have to notice when something's off, because they're not always going to tell you. They're, mm-hmm, going to try to hide it. So somebody who's attentive to detail and willing to give them that love and affection that they crave, I think, is a good, mm-hmm, bunny parent match.
Hmm. I was going to ask if you would, you'd definitely choose rabbits again in your future.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I know you said eventually, Jason says he wants a dog eventually.
I'd like to get a dog at some point.
Yeah. But I think we're both bunny parents.
Yeah. Like,
that is our role. We are full fantastic bunny parents all the way.
Yeah.
So as fans of bunnies, can you recommend anything with rabbits in it or on it for people listening?
Oh yeah. I don't know the answer to this question.
So one of the issues, like if we're talking about like pop culture sort of things, is, yeah, that they depict rabbits just so far off. And
yeah,
it's,
like
it's really
carrots and stuff.
Yeah, and it's really hard to find something that I would be like, you know, watch that. That's a good depiction of what like this is. Or
yeah,
here's one thing I do think is funny. It's a little off topic, but it is so funny when you meet somebody who is or has been a bunny parent, because it is like, yeah, an instant bond. Mm-hmm. Like, when we went to go, yeah, get the said furniture that we're putting together, I don't even know how you brought up bunnies, but you just started talking to the lady.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I just hear, oh my God, you own bunnies? I used to own a bunny. And the next thing you know, I've got questions about furniture, and they're just talking about, you know, the bunnies. So it is funny because it's a very small but tight-knit group that is very, very close, that is always very supportive of each other. But it's hard when it comes to like pop cultural things, because there's just not really anything that I can think of off the top of my head that depicts anything correctly. Yeah. I mean,
the only thing I can think of is, like, I have a robe that the hood has, like, little bunny ears on it.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, no, they're not bunny ears. What? I had something. It's not that robe. I had something that had little bunny ears on it. So, like, that kind of stuff I think is cute for a bunny parent or, you know, for a bunny enthusiast. But, yeah, unfortunately, there's just not a ton of things. I'm a huge fan of bunnies, as you can tell. And mm-hmm. there's not really a huge amount of things in, like, pop culture that I gravitate towards, just, you know, because there's either misconceptions or, you know, I don't know.
It's a turnoff, yeah.
Yeah.
These aren't accurate at all because they're wearing clothes and having little things. But have you heard of Bunnykins?
What is it? It's
Bunnykins. It was this art pattern, I think, I don't know, it's been around for like 100 years or something, and it's on children's china, so like the plates and things, and you'd give them to babies when they're born, and it was just like a cute little dish or something, and it's like sort of Beatrix pottery, so like bunnies in clothes or just doing cute things around the rim of the bowl, and I just think that's such a cute product, and they're still around. They're very expensive, but I just think that's a cute thing. Oh, he's looked it up.
Yeah, he looked it up.
I'm looking up right now.
That is cute.
Oh, yeah, I think it's an English thing.
Yeah,
so yeah, I've seen that.
I think we probably just haven't seen enough of like this kind.
It's not accurate, but it's cute. So
But I mean, like this. Yeah, this is totally cute.
You know what? The only one I can think of, now that this got me thinking, the only rabbit depiction I can think of was they specifically in the Winnie the Pooh series made Rabbit very nervous. And like always run back to his home and this and that. And I was like, that's the only thing I can think of that actually depicts it pretty dead on. But yeah.
Love it. Great. So last question. Do you have anything you'd like to promote or share with us today?
So not for me personally, but the rabbit rescue that, and it doesn't have to be this specific rabbit. Oh my gosh, this specific rabbit rescue, but the rabbit rescue that we got Parker from is called All About Rabbits, and they're based in New York City, and they have an Amazon Smile account. And so, for those that are not familiar with how Amazon Smile works, basically, you use their specific link, and you can buy anything on Amazon as long as you go through their link, and the rescue will get funds from it.
Okay.
So it doesn't cost anything. You can donate and support the rescue without any dollars coming out of your pocket, basically. And, you know, take it from Amazon's pocket, put it into the rescue's pocket.
That's great.
Yeah. So I've shared that link with you to share with Yeah, and I highly encourage, it doesn't have to be All About Rabbits Rescue, but any rescue that you or your listeners work with or are familiar with, see if they have Amazon Smile accounts or ask them to set Amazon Smile accounts up and promote it, because that's a really good way for them to, I mean, rabbits are expensive, you know, and as we demonstrated, and especially sick rabbits in multiples, which are typically what rescues are dealing with, so... Mm-hmm. It's a great way to support your rabbit rescues and support education, proper education for rabbit care.
And if you're going to, you know, want to become a bunny parent, or you're thinking about being a bunny parent, just, you know, make sure to do the research. And those places are the exact place you want to go to do that research. Which I always recommend, get a rescue rabbit. Yeah. Do not go to a Petco,
I used to say that too, but the rabbits that are in a Petco or a pet store, they're like, they didn't ask.
I know. That's a good point. They didn't need to.
If anything, they're probably worse cared for than a rescue.
That's how I sort of see it too.
So if you do get one from a Petco or a pet store, just really, like, don't listen to anything that the people there
say. Yes, go through a rescue and ask some questions. Yeah. They're always very, bunny parent you are ever going to meet.
Yeah.
And you're going to ask them a question about a rabbit, you are not bothering them whatsoever. Everyone is very wants to educate because they care about just rabbits in general. So they want to make sure that every other person is well educated on them.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. Yeah, well, that was fantastic. I have learned a lot about bunnies, and they sound so cute. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see photos as well, and I'll share the photos with
we'll
people.
Send them over, yeah.
Yeah,
we'll send
we have tons.
Okay, we'll send them over. I need a lot. Yeah. So thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Get ready
thank
for you. Us to blow up your inbox.
Okay, I'll look forward to it.
Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed hearing it as much as I enjoyed having this conversation with these two about rabbits. I think there's a lot to learn in this conversation, especially about if you want a rabbit or not. I'd just like to remind everyone that I have a Buy Me a Coffee now. So it's buymeacoffee.com/stolenourhearts. And this way you can give me tips of $3 or more to help support the podcast and keep me going. And 10% of those smaller donations go to Unwanted Fuzz at the moment, which is my favourite ferret rescue, where I got all four of my current ferrets. Sorry, all three of my current ferrets and my previous one that passed away. And hopefully more coming up. Yeah, so for just $3, you can help support me and keep me going. There are also membership levels starting at, I think it was, I should know this. The first membership level is only $2 a month, and that will get you into the Stolen Our Hearts Facebook group. So yes, have a look at that, please. Thank you very much, and please subscribe. And I'll talk to you next week.